Okay, good morning. Welcome back. It's been a little while, but here we are. Welcome to our Mashiach Matters class. It's Parsh. We are holding over here. It's a lot. This beginning of Parsh's Toldos is so rich. It's hard to get through the first pasuk with all the Mashiach the Galait that is just blaring, is literally blaring from these psukim that are over here. Whenever we're dealing with Yitzchak, as mentioned, we're in Mashiach zone. Yitzchak is the futuristic laughter. Okay, so actually, the last class I gave was not recorded. We had a problem. So I'm not going to do that over again. We'll leave that for now. And we're looking at the words over here. Ve'ela told us Yitzchak ben Avram. Avram hoiled us Yitzchak. So the parasha begins that these are the offspring of Yitzchak. Yitzchak, we discussed in the earlier classes the idea of the ve'ela. What's the ve and the ela of told us Yitzchak? What's the continuation of Yitzchak to what was said earlier in the parasha? But now I want to focus on this redundancy that seems to be saying over here. These are the children of Yitzchak. Yitzchak, the son of Avram. Avram gave hoiled as Yitzchak. Avram gave birth to Yitzchak, or caused Yitzchak to be born. So there seems to be a redundancy, something over here that seems to be extra. It tells Yitzchak ben Avram, fine. So if Yitzchak is the son of Avram, we know that Avram hoiled as Yitzchak, that Avram gave birth to Yitzchak. But here there's a very deep idea. Generally, when we look at Avram, when we look at Yitzchak, you know, as I mentioned earlier, mentioned many times, we know that Yitzchak, from our fathers, Yitzchak in many ways takes backstage. Avram is the more popular of our forefathers. Yaakov is also very much appreciated for Yaakov. But Yitzchak, the Torah tells very little about him, and he remains a mystery, other than the fact that we see about Yitzchak is the Akedas Yitzchak. But other than that, which even that is not so much a story of Yitzchak, it's the story of Avram's test. So Yitzchak is kind of a little bit in the background. And the reason for that is because the main light of Yitzchak is yet to come in the coming of Mashiach. That's when Yitzchak will really shine. As the sages tell us, that when Mashiach will come, we're going to say to Yitzchak, Ki ata avinu, you're our father. Which means that Yitzchak's energy has not really been released yet to the world. Who Yitzchak is really, it's about the future. And we spoke many times, Yitzchak means laughing, tzchoik, laughter. Yitzchak means we'll laugh, because the real laughter associated with Yitzchak is the laughter that's going to happen in the time of Oz Yemalei Tzchoik Pinu, when our mouths are going to be filled with laughter. Why is that Yitzchak is not appreciated, and why does it take only when Mashiach will come that Yitzchak should be appreciated? And so the Ohev Yisrael, the Abderav, says something very special, and it's something that we've kind of discussed many times, but just the way he sets it and explains it over here. And that is that when we're looking at Avram and Yitzchak, it seems like Avram is the nice guy. He's the one who's always being kind, he's being nice, he's reaching out to everyone, he's inspiring everyone, he's been makar of everyone. Like he's full of, he's what we would expect, you know, the essence of goodness. And Yitzchak is one of severity, of judgment, of strictness. As we know, Yitzchak personifies Gevurah. And discipline, and very demanding, and having high expectations, and as a result of that, he can be very tough. Yitzchak is tough, as opposed to Avram, who's very sweet. Avram is sweet, and Yitzchak is tough. He says, but that's really not really getting Yitzchak at all. To look at Yitzchak as someone who's tough and very and strict. And as a result of that, you don't want to really get in too close to Yitzchak, because he might chas v'shalom lash out to you. It's like you have sometimes a person, he might be a very big tzaddik, but he's very scary, he's very frightening because of his intensity. Yitzchak is very intense. But as he explains, that the really, really at the essence, at the core, Yitzchak is not to be understood as something opposite of giving. Yitzchak is also giving, but as mentioned, and this he doesn't say mamish this, but he says the chasadim of Yitzchak, the kindness of Yitzchak, the givingness of Yitzchak, the light, the life, and the bracha coming from Yitzchak is really far more intense and far greater than the goodness. You see, the goodness of Avram pales compared to the goodness of Yitzchak. It's just that Yitzchak's goodness is too intense for the world to handle as it is now. The world in its current state cannot handle such intense good. And he proves it from the idea that we know that there are two types of metals. And there are different types of metals, and there is silver, and then there is gold. And we know that both of them are precious metals, both of them are beautiful, both of them are very valuable. And yet, we know that gold has a far greater value than silver. Much, much greater value than silver. And that means that the goodness of gold is much gooder, if you can say, it's much better than the goodness of silver and the value of silver. Now, silver is kindness. The word kesef means from the word nichsoif. Nichsoif means longing. Longing means love, which is idea of attachment and kindness. And gold, he says, if you look at gold, gold has an intensity to it, has a fiery look. Also, gold it leans towards redness and has a certain red. Especially there is a kind of gold that's red gold, like a pink gold, a red gold. So that the redness of gold is indicative that gold is associated with the left side. It's associated with gevura. And we see that the preciousness of gold is far more precious than silver. And that is because the essential goodness of that shows you that the root of gevura is really, really, really a far superior kind of a goodness than the goodness that is coming from chesed. And for example, we'll just see one second as he explains it, the goodness of that. That's what we find in a pasuk. He says that there is a pasuk that says, "Mor rav tuvcha, how much is your goodness, asher tzifanta, that you have hidden, lireyacha, to those who fear you." So this is interesting. Tuvcha, which means goodness, is generally associated with the right side, with chesed. Chesed is good. Light is chesed, and light is good. So goodness is associated with chesed. Yet we say, marav tuvcha, how good is your goodness, ashet, how abundant, how much is your goodness, ashet tzafanta, that you have hidden lirayacha, to those who fear you. And who fears God? Yitzchak fears God. Fear is on the left side. And yet we're saying that in the fear, there's a lot of goodness. And the Alter Rebbe explains this in Tanya also, is that those who serve Hashem because their souls are rooted in the side of Gevura, and therefore they serve Hashem with fear and with awe, it shouldn't be made a mistake that their service to God is a very dreadful service. They're just scared of Hashem and so on and so forth. But one should rather recognize that deep embedded inside their fear of God is a powerful love. It's just that the love is concealed by the fear. And in a sense, the love that's hidden in those that fear him is even a more intense love than the love that's present in those that have the love out and in the revealed state. In other words, the Avram Jew's love is not as intense as the Yitzchak's love, even though Yitzchak's primary service is the service of fear. And that's the meaning, Marav Tufcha Ashet Tzafanta, that you have hidden L'Reyach. Now, just like it is by us, the recipients, meaning those relating to God, the Avram Jew who is connecting to Hashem through love, and the Yitzchak Jew who is connecting to God through fear, in which we're saying that the love that's buried inside, in the inner world of the one that fear God, is even deeper than the love that's in the one who expresses the love on the outside. It is also when we apply this to Hashem himself, meaning as we're looking at these two middos, not from us to Hashem, but from Hashem to us, Hashem's power of goodness, which is chesed, and Hashem's power of discipline, which is Gevura, it needs to be understood that even though externally Gevura seems to have a very severe and harsh external, that's its appearance, but we have to realize Marav Tufcha, there is so much intense love and there's so much intense goodness in that strictness. In simple words, it means that when we're experiencing in our lives moments when we feel that Hashem is dealing with us tough, it's not like these very, very, very sweet moments where everything is like going exactly the way we would like it to go, and we can see Hashem's chesed and Hashem's kindness, and we can thank Him and feel so hugged and cuddled by God's light. Sometimes Hashem is putting us through the ringer. Sometimes we're going through harshness, and we're being pressed, and we're being kvetched, and we're being... But a Yid knows, Marav Tufcha, there is so much goodness inside that is harsh moments, because what's happening is that Hashem is dealing with us from the left side. We're in its very, very quintessential beginning of beginnings, at its very, very start. Gevura is that Hashem is intensely loving us. He's loving us with such intensity, but because the love is so intense, we're not kelim to be able to receive it that way. So Hashem has to contract it, and the love then externally is replaced with certain demands, and those demands are meant exactly to cause us to stretch, to cause us to expand our keli, because when we have to when we're challenged with difficulties, in order for us to be able to master or be able to overcome those challenges, those difficulties, we have to dig deeper into ourselves and make deeper commitments and be more selfless and do things that otherwise we have to like dig deep to find certain kochos and certain powers and certain energies that we would never really uncover. So we would always remain a narrow vessel. But now that we're challenged with this bigger challenge, it causes us to go beyond our containers, our limited, to do things that are uncomfortable, which expand our vessel. And once our vessel is expanded, then we are now recipients. We're able to receive the more intense love that Hashem initially had intended for us in that Gevura. So that's the idea that he explains, that Yitzchak should chas v'shalom not be seen as a harsh, mean father, but Yitzchak should be seen as the ultimate loving father, but that is going to be demanding and challenging just because his love is so intense in the inside. That's the idea, that sometimes you have a very disciplining parent. It doesn't mean that they don't love their child. It's just that they're not loving with a mellow love. They're loving with a very, very, they take it very, very deep. And because they're very, very deep, they want their goodness for their child on a level that the child can't comprehend. So it will translate to the child as a very harsh, demanding, mean parent. But that's not really what it is. I mean, unless the father and a parent are not healthy. But if they're, talking about in the normal realm where some parents have higher expectations and they're more demanding, it's not that they're less loving, it's just that they're more intense in their love. And obviously, sometimes, I mean, if obviously these things need to be done with the right balance, too much of that obviously can just destroy the recipient. It doesn't work. That's why Yitzchak and Avram always have to be mellowed with each other. But there is a lot to be said about the intensity of the approach, of a Yitzchak approach. And that's why he says that today's days, the world is not a keli yet to see the true beauty and the true love and the true light that is in the Yitzchak, in the Gevuradiga aspects. But when Mashiach will come, and the power of the impure, the power of the negative, the power of that which is concealing and blocking Hashem in the world is going to be removed. And then we're going to get to see things for what they really are. So then Yitzchak's light is going to emerge, and the pnimius of Yitzchak is going to show itself, that Yitzchak is really the ultimate kind father, the ultimate giving, and the ultimate loving father. And that's from Hashem also. He's going to be in his galus, a revelation of the pnimius, of the innermost of Gevura, of what Gevura really, really is, and it's that it's intense love. It's the real deep red gold. And therefore, he says that, just to conclude, that's the meaning of Ve'ele toldos Yitzchak. And these are the offspring of Yitzchak. That means there is Yitzchak. There's Yitzchak the way you see Yitzchak as he is. You know, you have an encounter with Yitzchak. You have an encounter with the elements of the forces that are are from above. Hashem is treating you to a Yitzchak moment, and that's the Yitzchak itself. But then you have to look over Eile Toldos Yitzchak. What is going to be the offspring of Yitzchak? Meaning, what is the consequences? What's the intention? What is the outcome? Toldos can also mean the outcome, the birth of. What is Yitzchak going to birth? What is he going to develop? What's going to come out from Yitzchak? Ben Avraham. The pnimius of what's within Yitzchak is Ben Avraham, is real kindness. But not mellow kindness. The real, real, real powerful kindness of Avraham is going to be revealed dafka through Yitzchak. So, in other words, there's two ways Avraham appears to us. One way is when Avraham comes to us directly, and the other one is when Avraham comes to us through Yitzchak. When Avraham comes to us directly, it feels really wonderful. And those are the moments, as we spoke earlier, where we have just closeness to God, when things are, where miracles happen, everything working out our way, and we can, our hearts, we say in davening, Ilu finim yiluk malik shira kayam, shenenu rina kamoin galov, which means if our mouths were filled with song like the sea, and our tongue like the waves of the oceans, we're so filled with gratitude, we feel so much love, we feel so much goodness, and we can thank Hashem. That's Avram coming to us, means Hashem's kindness coming to us in a direct manner, not through any disguise. It's coming to us in a very open way. And that's wonderful, and that's good, and that gives us an Avram, and that lifts us, and as it said, it inspires us in many ways, and it's good. But then there is Avram Avinu coming to us another way. And that is Ve'ele told us Yitzchak ben Avram. That means Yitzchak is also here to bring Avram, which is Hashem's kindness and Hashem's love, but it's coming to us through a Yitzchak. And when it's coming through us through a Yitzchak, it's only uncovering a deeper, inner, more dimension of Avram, which is kindness, that we would not have when we're meeting Avram himself. That's why it's interesting. He doesn't say this, but that's why it's also interesting that Yitzchak also looked like Avram Avinu. That means that when you but people who were accustomed to Avram Avinu, and they were used to that hugging, delicious Avram embrace, and then they saw Yitzchak, and they kind of expected Yitzchak. They ran over to, I'm just giving an analogy that's coming to my head right now. And then they ran over to Yitzchak, and they ran for an embrace from Yitzchak, because they thought he's Avram, and he looked exactly like his father. They realized very quickly that they made a mistake, because Yitzchak put them on their place very immediately. He right away, would say, let's say, you know, demanded of them or asked them, like, you know, and showed them their faults and the like and where they're lacking, and they got burnt. But if they didn't run away, if they didn't get skit, if they ran away, they said, you know what, he's not our cup of tea. And if they didn't come, then they missed out. But those who were willing to allow themselves to be chastised, rebuked, elevated, and purified through the Yitzchak rebuke and elevation, ultimately experienced a much deeper Avram than they received when they met Avram himself. That is the idea of Eile Toldos Yitzchak, that the Toldos of Yitzchak is Ben Avram. He doesn't explain the second half, which is the idea of Avram Hoyledes Yitzchak. He just explains the idea of what does it mean, Ve'eile Toldos Yitzchak Ben Avram. To understand the full pasuk, Ve'eile Toldos Yitzchak Ben Avram, Avram Hoyledes Yitzchak, when you have the interplay between Yitzchak and Avram two times. Yitzchak Ben Avram, and then Avram Hoyledes Yitzchak. For that, we will take a peek at the writings of the Alter Rebbe in Torah Or, which he explains this pasuk. It's a little bit more difficult to understand. So there is a mimer from the fifth Chabad Rebbe, the Rishab in Tafresh Mem Gimel, Ve'ele Toldos Yitzchak, which is kind of commentary on the mimer on Torah Or, and which clarifies a lot of what is happening. And again, it's the ideas of what we had just spoken, but from a different angle. And primarily it has to do also not so much with the Eibishter's conduct with us, whether we're experiencing an Avram element or a Yitzchak element, but more in terms of our rectification and our service, there's two ways for us to experience, to serve Hashem. One is in an Avram manner, and one is in a Yitzchak manner. And there are two ways in which we, for ourselves, experience or I don't want to use the word practice our religion, but the manner in which we, for personally, connect to Hashem and fulfill our Yiddishkeit. And there's also primarily a big way, the way we influence people around us and the world around us. And this can be in two manners. It can be in an Avram manner. It can be in a Yitzchak manner. And the Yitzchak manner is a more difficult, more challenging approach, but it's the more rewarding approach. And ultimately, the purpose is not Avram, the purpose is Yitzchak. So the way it's understood, the way it's explained is as follows. When we take a look at Avram's and Yitzchak's lives, we see that the primary occupation of Avram, and that's this week's parsha, that Avram was a machnas oirach. Avram was someone who took guests in. Last week in the parsha, the Torah says that Avram, it's this week's Torah portion, Parsha's Vayera. It says, in addition to the beginning of the parsha, where Avram was running around and extending himself way beyond his physical strength and his abilities to do kindness to people, and the people were not, at least in the way he understood, these people were not elevated, high, spiritually sensitive or sophisticated people. These were truly lowly individuals, and we see how Avram Avinu just cared with them with like a total selflessness and total devotion. But later in the parasha, it also says that Avram set up, he moved. This was his initial place. He lived next to Hebron, but then he moved away from there, and he moved to Be'er Sheva. And in Be'er Sheva, Avram really set up shop, in which he planted an Eshel, and the sages argue what this Eshel is, if the Eshel is a tree, or the Eshel is an inn. In either case, Avram used this Eshel, this either magnificent tree that he had in his garden, or it was an inn in which he hosted his guest. It was like a whole hotel. It was a resort in which he took care of his guest, and all he wanted of them, that was not their money, and so on. Baruch Hashem, Avram was an affluent person. All he wanted from these people was that they should acknowledge God. After he took care of them, and he spoke to them, Vayikra Shem B'Shem Kei Lo'olam, he made people recognize Hashem. That's the story of Avram. So Avram was a machnas orech. Yitzchak, when we look at Yitzchak, we see Yitzchak's avoda. We don't find Yitzchak having a lot of guests. It almost seems like Yitzchak would sit alone with Rivka at their Shabbos table. Maybe from time to time they had two or three very, very devoted students, but they don't seem to have like 30, 50, 100 guests that they were inspiring. The other thing about what Torah tells us about Yitzchak is that Yitzchak was digging wells. That was his profession. He was a well digger, and he dug one well, he dug another well, he dug a third well. So let's understand the deeper content of them. Obviously, the Torah is not just telling us stories about a person digging wells. What is the difference? What does it mean? That means that Yitzchak served God by digging wells. Basically, when God sends a neshama into this world, the neshama's job to come into this world, and that is to bring divine, godly awareness to this place called earth, which naturally on its own does not have an awareness of Hashem, is in a state of klipa, in a state of disconnect. So the point over here is to enlighten the ignorant. That is the, and ultimately, as a result of all of our effort, of all neshamas, we brighten up this world until our world becomes so aware of Hashem and that it's able to receive Hashem's full, powerful revelation that Hashem is going to reveal after Mashiach comes. So, but the manner in which that's accomplished can be due in two ways. One of them is in which a person is showering inspiration and light from above. That's called malmayla lamat. That's called doing it from above down. Let's take Avram Avinu as he's the example for that. He's surrounding himself. He's in a situation where he's surrounded by people that are totally ignorant of God, and how does he affect them with his absolute non-judgmental approach of not having any requirements and not making any demands of anybody. Everybody can come in. Everybody, he feeds everybody. He loves everybody with unconditional love and everything. And at the end, he imbues them. He teaches them about Hashem. And he tells them, you know, there is a God that created heaven and earth. And this God, it's very different than the people's thinking that they've been taught until that. They hear Avram Avinu. At the time that Avram Avinu was speaking to them, Avram's arguments, Avram was a great philosopher and a great orator and a great teacher and a great and a phenomenal human being. And at the time that Avram Avinu was talking to them, they were really, really convinced in the truths that Avram was teaching, that Avram was telling them. And then eventually, after Avram had spoken to them, they agreed to thank God. And they would thank God for the food that they ate. But it doesn't necessarily mean that this is the way they stayed. They left his house. They went back to their communities. They went back to their villages, the places where they come from. And they didn't bulldoze the temples that were made for the idols. The next day, when there was a festival for the various different gods, they continued going. They continued to be. It's just that they had a little kernel of truth that was thrown into their head that they heard, that they for one moment perceived and understood, but it wasn't like a major transformation in them completely. It was that Avram planted seeds. He planted seeds of truths in all these people. Of course, there were people that were closer to Avram Avinu that Avram had a bigger impact in their life, but the way it was achieved and the way it was accomplished was because of Avram's great light, because of his spiritual awareness and his powerful, energetic love of God. It was infectious. It spilled over onto people that other people too were inspired by Avram's teachings. They heard what he said. They recognized this. They got a little bit. Were they changed? No. Were they could have changed a little bit, but they weren't. They didn't become truly, essentially, people that are. Have rejected the falseness of Avodah Zarah and the like, and have deeply metamorphosized as being Kalim for Kedusha, entities of holiness. Yitzchak, on the other way, was a well digger. And what that means by digging a well is that he... So if we were to use the analogy of water and regarding to Avram Avinu, even though we don't really find him having too much to do with water, he did dig wells. Water represents the divine, because water is life-giving. So water represents elokus, getlichkeit, godliness. So if you're coming to a place where there is no water, there is no awareness of God, the thing about Avram Avinu is that he arrived with a big, big, huge, you know, huge tractor trailer filled with water tanks, and he was giving water to everybody. Wherever he drove, wherever Avram parked, wherever he came in with his big trailer, he had water supply for everybody. Okay, so everybody had water, and as long as Avram was around, they were all kind of in a spiritual elevated state. He brought them the water. What Yitzchak did was that when Yitzchak came to a certain place and he found people that weren't godly, Yitzchak didn't bring any water. He didn't shower anybody with this powerful, come sit down, let me teach you something I heard, let me teach you something I learned, let me inspire you. Yitzhak started probing into people. When he met someone, he started asking the person questions until the person became so frustrated with his emptiness of his or her life. He started making the person recognize that they're living a life that has no... He demanded of a person to start being honest with his or herself and see like what's really the true content of their life. And the people started digging, meaning bringing out that their dissatisfaction, realizing that they're false, realizing that they're unhealthy, realizing there's something wrong. And it involved a lot of pain and a lot of misery and putting the person through a deep therapy of questioning their entire existence and their life and what they're all about. And the person is discovering, as they're looking deep inside themselves, a lot of unhealthy habits, attachments, behaviors, beliefs, and so on and so forth. And the person has to struggle with it until they're able to uproot it and say, I don't want this, it's not good. And finally, and finally, and finally, until they digging and digging and digging, until like you're digging in the dirt, you're digging within the dirt until you hit water. So Yitzchak is really essentially saying that if you're going to dig deep into your human spirit to a very, very deep place, you're going to uncover, go past all the klipa, deep inside you're going to discover an innate deep truth in which you, in that deep place, you're connected to a living God. you're truly connected to God. Because at the core of every being is a spark of Hashem. It's just about uncovering that spark. So Yitzhak did not come and offer everybody water. Here, let me give you a quick fix inspiration. Let's take out a guitar, let's sing a song, and let's be inspired. And I'm going to share with you a beautiful story that's going to inspire you and fill you with awe and so on and so forth. That was Avram's style. That wasn't Yitzhak's style at all. You know, and as we said before, Yitzhak therefore had much less students than Avram did. Or not too many people are willing to go through that digging experience, that painful search, that frustration of being honest and shedding one's external outer comfortable, what we might say that we kind of a person makes himself comfortable and accepting of themselves. And having to shed that, having to fight that, and to remove that, and get really, really deep within oneself, and that's the avoid of Yitzchak. Yitzchak was a well digger. So now, just give me 1 minute here. And they relate it that's the difference between when we find that. Avram, this is an interesting idea. He says the idea of Avram is, as we were saying earlier, to bring waters down, bring holiness down, even to a place that's not a vessel for it, not a container. Give him a drink of water. Let him taste a little bit of truth, even if he's not really there. It's mamish the idea of what we see today called the Mifzayim. Mifzayim is you're going and you're meeting Jews, and you're doing a mitzvah with a yid. Now, this is a Jew who's not been religious all his life. He doesn't, at this moment, doesn't really have a conscious relationship with Hashem necessarily. Maybe yeah, maybe no. Some people yes, some people no. It doesn't make a difference. You meet a Jew, you say, "Let's do a mitzvah." So, what are you doing? You're enabling godly light to come down to this person as they are, no questions asked. And we see within ourselves, for instance, even if we don't have to talk about other people, even within ourselves, we throughout our day, through our lives, in our mitzvah observance, whenever we're doing mitzvahs, whenever we're doing things that are infinitely godlier than our consciousness of where we are at that time. When you're doing a mitzvah. You don't ask yourself the question, am I worthy right now to do the mitzvah? You know, I read a story of Reb Michal of Zlotchev, that once a student of his saw him sitting down in the middle of the night when he was learning Zohar. And when he started learning Zohar, he heard him say like this, "Michal, Michal." I don't remember exactly the words. It's a shame that I should really go look it up. But he said, but to the effect of, "Michal, who do you think you are that you can learn Zohar? Who do you think you are that you can learn Zohar?" And he started crying. And he was weeping and crying, "Who am I to learn Zohar?" And then he stops and then he says, "Michal, do you really, really appreciate and do you really, really know that you are absolutely unworthy to be learning Zohar?" And then again he started, and then again he broke out like sobbing and weeping from the depth of his being. So that's the, you know, as the recognition. Zohar, you know what Zohar is? It's the deepest, truest, deepest secrets of Torah truths, which should be only learned and understood by people that are really vessels for this great light. Who am I to learn it? But we don't do that when we do a mitzvah. We don't sit and ask ourselves, you know, this week I can't light Shabbos candles because who am I to light, to touch such holy candles? Who am I? You know, I've done so and so, or did so and so, or I got angry yesterday, and I got frustrated, and I'm jealous, and I'm full of all kinds of other greed and animosity, and other stuff, and I have vulgar desires and wants, or maybe even I did certain things I shouldn't do. I'm ashamed of myself. I'm not going to light Shabbos candles. Who am I to give tzedakah and do such a godly act of giving tzedakah? I can't do that. No, that you don't do that when you do a mitzvah, and you shouldn't do that when you do a mitzvah, because there are 248 mitzvahs. 248 is gematria Avraham. Avraham is 248. Because that's Avraham. Avraham doesn't care where you're at. Avraham is not concerned where you're at, doesn't, for Avraham Avinu, no matter where you're at, you can always do a mitzvah. Because he's bringing you the water. You don't have to be a vessel for it. He's pouring the water down, and the water is going down, down, down the hill, even to a very low place. The water can descend and go and shine light there. He also says it's similar to the giving of the Torah. The giving of the Torah was an Avram moment. When God gave the Torah, there was a powerful, powerful godly awareness on earth. The entire physical earth was filled with Hashem's light. When you looked at the desert where the Jews were, they can see from every hill, from every mountain, from every stone, from all the sand and earth, from every cactus. They can see God's Hashem's light shining. But the world was not, it was only a momentary revelation, but it wasn't a permanent change within the world at all. As soon as the powerful revelation went away, similar to Avram Avinu, as soon as Avram's truck, caravan, as soon as Avram pulled away out of the parking lot and he left the festival and he drove off, everybody was back to the way they are. Similar to a Chabad Bachrim coming to some kind of a festival where people are just, you know, having a good time outside, doing whatever, and nothing to do with godliness, and they're suddenly lining up people and they're putting tefillin. As long as they're there, it's a, you can see godliness there. They left and everybody is back to whatever they were busy with before. And that's the way it was by Matan Torah. That's a Yitzchak, that's an Avra moment. Yitzchak, a different story. When Mashiach will come, it says that the body is not going to have to eat anymore. Olam Abba, the world, when Mashiach comes, according to the Ramban, according to the more mystical side of things, we know that after Mashiach comes, there will not be any more. We will live in physical bodies, but we won't have to eat or drink. And the reason is because our body is going to derive its energy and its life from spiritual sensations. In other words, now the body needs to eat in order to get its nourishment. When Mashiach will come, doing a mitzvah is going to be so, is going to give the body such a thrill, so much energy, that the body, it's going to satiate the body. It's going to give it physical energy for the body to be sustained for a couple of hours. Similar to the tzaddik Reb Nochem of Chernobyl, who was already a very refined human being. Just to show you the refinement of Reb Nochem of Chernobyl, Reb Nochem, it's a beautiful story, but it gives you the idea of what I'm talking about. Reb Nochem was once in a house, and it was Friday night, and they had a candle. And then Reb Nochem, something, he had to leave. Something, whatever happened, and he left. He left for a half an hour or something. In the course of Reb Nochem leaving the house, the wind happened, whatever, and it blew out the candle, and it got absolutely dark. The family, being in a dilemma, called a non-Jew, and the non-Jew relit the candle. Reb Nochem came inside the house, and he saw it's dark. And he started like feeling around, like when he was walking, like he's walking in the pitch black, and he was touching, and he was like, and they were like, they couldn't understand what's going on. And he asked, like, what happened to the light? And they said, it went out, but they said, it's light in the room. And he said, what do you mean it's pitch black? What happened? Because the non-Jew lighting a lamp for a Jew is forbidden, according to Torah, only if the non-Jew is doing it for himself. But if he's doing it for you, then you're not allowed to have any benefit from it. And since, according to Torah, he's not allowed to have any benefit to it, his body was so attuned to Torah that physically he did not perceive the light that was non-kosher light, that which was halachically non-kosher. If it's not kosher, if it's not real, if God doesn't approve of this, then it's not real. If it's not real, his body, see, not his neshama, not, it's one thing, it would be in a madrega, like for us, we would say, it bothers us that we have, we want you to know it's not kosher, it's bothering us, it's irritating. He literally did not see it. And Reb Nochem of Chernobyl, we also say that he was physically fat and heavy set, and it says that he was his extra weight that he had wasn't from food but was from Amen Yehesh Me'rab. He had such pleasure when he said Amen Yehesh Me'rab, it filled him with such delight that he gained weight. See, his pleasure causes an expansion. He had such delight in his ruchnis to go Amen Yehesh Me'rab, literally his body. So that's an example of a body of ultimate refinement, and that's a Yitzchak body. someone who worked on his body to become so refined. See, our bodies are, every Jewish body is amazing, especially if a person is observant. A body that put on tefillin, a body that keeps Shabbos, a body that blows shofar, a body that shook the lulav, a body that ate matzah, a body that eats kosher, a body, I mean, it's amazing. But yet, our bodies are still physical, earthy bodies, still deeply attached to the material physical world. Because the way our mitzvahs are being observed is in an Avram way. We're drawing godliness down. We're not refining the body from the bottom up. We're bringing waters of holiness down. Reb Nachum probably fasted and purified himself and did not give in to the body's desires and wants. As we spoke earlier, he dug a well inside his body. He dug in the dirt and the dirt until he found the water, the godly, until his body was absolutely a piece of godliness, a piece of divinity, a piece of holiness. That was his body. So when Mashiach comes, all of our bodies are going to be in that state, because the world, this process, even though I just mentioned that we do mitzvahs and we're just doing an Avram thing, but it's both together. Throughout the observance of thousands of years, we're digging the well of holiness. We're digging into the world, digging and digging and digging and digging and digging, until we will discover that spark that is at the essence of our physical bodies. And that's why it's different than by Matan Torah. Matan Torah, Hashem was pure, powerfully revealed. Hashem was powerfully revealed. But then as soon as the revelation was over, the world was back to its regular state. But when Mashiach comes, it's going to be permanent, because the earthiness of our bodies, the world, our physical bodies are going to be kelim for Elokus. That's Yitzchak, and that's the ultimate purpose, and that's why Yitzchak is the future. And that's what he says is the meaning of, in this pasuk, the Eila told us, Yitzchak ben Avram, Avram hoiledes Yitzchak. You see, even Reb Nachum of Chernobyl, or even very big tzaddikim, or you cannot begin your avoda without Avram. If you meet a student, you meet a person on the street, and let's say you're the Yitzchak kind of a teacher, you're not going to attract anybody. You know, if you don't have Avram before you, you're not going to attract anybody. You need to be able to have a little bit of Avram. You need to warm the person up. You need to say something kind. You need to illuminate. You need to throw them something that's beyond their state of where they are, and they see light. Once you've kind of given them light from above and an excitement, now that you spark their interest, now you can call them into the office, sit them down, and say, listen here. In the coarse, lowly state, with all of your physical and unhealthy habits and attachments, materialistic, whatever things, I can't work with you, you know? So I'm going to demand of you, this is going to be your homework, you're going to work on yourself. But again, the person has to be willing to go through that purification. And they're only the willing to go through that purification if they've gotten a taste already of what's real and what's true. And that taste you do through an Avram, not through Yitzchak. That's why the order is like this: the Eile told us Yitzchak ben Avram, that to get to Yitzchak, Yitzchak has to come first through Avram, ben Avram. The first has to be, Avram had to first be in the world for, you know, 100 years or whatever before Yitzchak can come in the world. The world had to experience illuminations, excitements, inspiration from above before you can truly, really begin the purification process from below. But the Eile told us Yitzchak, it's Ben Avram, it's a derivative of Avram. And then the second half of the pasuk, Avram hoiledes Yitzchak, means as follows. And I'm just going to conclude with this. Yitzchak's purification, when you purify something from below, you can elevate it and elevate it and elevate it and elevate it and elevate it. But after all, since we're dealing with a something from below, something from creation, something from the unholy, that is now making its way to its Kedusha, it has a certain limitation on how far it can go. It will go and go and go, but then it reaches a ceiling, it reaches a stopping point. So therefore, it will ultimately need, in the end, someone from above to pick it up and to carry it all the way. So this is the idea that you have to have Avram before Yitzchak, and you have to have Avram after Yitzchak. The Avram before Yitzchak is to warm the person up so that he should be ready for the Yitzchak approach. And then the Avram that comes after Yitzchak is after you finish the ultimate refinement from below, then the person, it's like you have tzaddikim or great people that were, you know, reached worked so hard on themselves, and after all their work, suddenly Eliyahu HaNavi appeared to them and showered them with such new teachings and insight, lifted them up to levels infinitely higher than they ever could have gone. So you need Yitzchak before, you need Avram before Yitzchak, and you need Avram after Yitzchak. And that's the meaning of Avram Hoyledes Yitzchak. And that's going to be the great revelations of Hashem. After our bodies are going to be Kelim for Elukos, after Mashiach comes, there's going to be even superior revelations that are going to come after that. Okay, Be'ezus Hashem, we'll reconnect next week. Baruch Hashem.